Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the return of Behind the Screen Movie of the Week. I'm Dan.
Who goes next?
You.
Okay, I'm out.
And introducing two brand new to Behind the Screen and Wikicuriosity Media, we have in the studio with us...
Zach, what's up?
What's going on?
Not a lot, man. Here to talk about some movies.
Alrighty. You can join us. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. Hit us up on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show. Hit us up on Facebook at Wikicuriosity Media. Go to our website at www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. The link is on every single one of our Facebook pages. So just go there instead of writing it down. Hit us up on blogtalkradio.com/wikicuriosity. That you can find all of our archived shows there. Hit us up on Twitch at Wikicuriosity Media. You can live chat with us there. We are no longer broadcasting on Facebook Live, but you can hit us up on Twitch. Also, head on over to our YouTube channel, Wikicuriosity Media, and you can find all of our archived shows on iTunes at Wikicuriosity Media. But yeah. It has been, I want to say it's been about 3 or 4 months since Movie of the Week has been on the air.
Probably. We went on break right after Thanksgiving, right before, right after Thanksgiving.
We went on break for Thanksgiving, and then we came back, and then we went on break for Christmas, and Cinephiles went back on the air, but Movie of the Week has not. I think this is the first show for Movie of the Week of the year. We've made a few changes. If you couldn't tell at the beginning, we have a new co-host with us, Zach.
Thanks for having me, bud.
Absolutely. Did you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, or do you just want to get in on with the show?
I'm a redneck country boy. I'm 6'7". I love movies.
There you go. There you go. He is referred to as the... oh, fuck. I can't remember.
Tall, goofy motherfucker.
That's it, yeah. The goofy redneck motherfucker. So, I mean, that's what he is affectionately referred to as. Anyway. Couple of interesting things that have happened since we were last on the air for the Cinephiles. If all you do is follow Movie of the Week, you are missing out on some badass content for the Cinephiles. So you should be listening to both. So we're not going to recap 3 months because it's all on Cinephiles. Go back and listen to that. But this week, some exciting things have happened to all of us here in the studio. All three of us, in separate states, mind you, went and saw the Batman Thursday night.
Yep.
Great movie.
And so we're not going to give away any spoilers because it hasn't even been a week since it's been out.
3 days.
So this is what happens. Batman comes on the screen.
And then we get to see Selina Kyle.
Spoiler alert, his parents died.
His parents are already dead in this movie. Spoiler alert, there's a Batmobile. He punches some people. And, yeah. Yeah, that's the movie.
Recap.
Yeah. But we all agree it is probably one of the best solo Batman movies out there.
Yeah, 100%.
For me, it's better than Christian Bale. I'm sorry. So Alex and I talked about this on Cinephiles a little bit, and I think you and I talked about it off air.
Right.
The fact of Robert Pattinson becoming the new, or well, becoming a Batman. We all had our trepidations. Like, we were all just like, this is not going to be good. The story might be good. Robert Pattinson's going to be
trash.
As Bruce Wayne, he was trash.
Trash.
As Batman, he was
perfect cast.
Full tilt.
I think they kind of hit the nail on the head on that one, though, because, and Bruce Wayne's this, like, almost Tony Stark-like figure in almost every other iteration, live-action version. But in reality, like, comics and everything else, Robert Pattinson did a pretty good job playing Bruce Wayne. Like, Bruce Wayne has no care for being the Bruce Wayne character. He doesn't care for it. He doesn't want to do it. Bruce Wayne is kind of the mask, and Batman is the real version.
Yeah.
So I think they got it right with that, but I don't know.
It was a little awkward.
His Bruce Wayne scenes were more of a angsty teen rather than a billionaire.
Twilight all over again.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen.
Reminded me of Teenage Negasonic Warhead from Deadpool.
But his Batman was fantastic, because Batman actually felt like mature and powerful, and he had a presence.
It was the perfect Batman for the second year, because it's, and this is not a spoiler, it's the second year of him being Batman. And it plays perfectly, right in line with the comics, right in line with the Long Halloween storyline, whether you read the comic or whether you watched the movie, the two-part movie. But it was such a fantastic movie. Well worth going to the theaters to see.
For sure.
So, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to welcome. Sorry, my thing was kind of being difficult. I do want to welcome Miss Angel to the studio.
Hello. There we go.
I had a little bit of feedback there, but that's
okay.
Welcome, Miss Angel. You know Zach.
Yes, I do.
And, of course, you know Alex.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never met this woman today in my life.
I don't know this child. Who is him?
So we were talking a little bit about... I'm sorry. Miss Angel over here is whining and crying about her burning herself on the tray of her air fryer that she just got.
Listen, shit, that was worse than like an oven burn. I'm sorry.
Although I will say, those chicken nuggets turned out fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it was like I fought a war with the chicken nuggets and I won.
Some could say you even fought Mike Tyson.
Right?
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
It does
hurt.
I'm sorry. Okay. I do have a little bit of sad news for the movie world today. So I don't know how many people, and Alex, you should know this name. If anybody in the room should know this name, you should know this name. Alan Ladd Jr. You've heard of him.
This sounds familiar, but I can't think of him off the top of my head.
Okay. I'll give a little bit of backstory. If George Lucas is the father of Star Wars, Alan Ladd Jr. is the godfather of Star Wars. He is the executive at 20th Century Fox that gave George Lucas his chance. He is directly responsible for Star Wars being released under the 20th Century Fox name. And every other Star Wars movie thereafter, his whole list of just movies that he has greenlit, Blade Runner, The Fury, Damien Omen 2,
right.
Or Omen, Damien Omen 2, Alien, Braveheart?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We should thank him for some of the movies and
Poltergeist, Police Academy.
We should let him rest in peace on the others.
Pretty much every movie that went through 20th Century Fox up until 2007, he had a hand in greenlighting. He actually passed away on the 2nd of March at the age of 84. So, yeah. He was, such a visionary. Like, there are so many franchises, so many movies that we would not have without Alan Ladd Jr. He was, like I said, he was the one that gave George Lucas a chance, honestly. And without him, we would have the fantastic franchise that we have now. The absolute worldwide phenomenon that we have.
Now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I am not counting the sequels. That's all Disney, okay? That's all Disney.
I'm just saying, it is not a phenomenon.
Anything that was released under 20th Century Fox.
Okay.
Those were not released under 20th Century
Fox. I will give him that.
But, yeah, he is directly responsible for so many influences in my life. As we all know here, I am a huge Alien franchise fan. Love the Alien franchise.
We talked about this at work for hours.
I am not.
Blade Runner, I love Blade Runner. Love the old Poltergeist.
The one where the whole cast died after the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
After the second movie, or halfway through the second movie. But still. He passed away 4 days ago.
Well, sorry to hear that.
And what pisses me off is that I never saw anything come across my feed about it. Like, there was nothing about it.
Honestly,
this guy was so...
But he's not prevalent in, like, most of us have not heard his name.
But we should have.
Should have, but we never did.
It's one of those things, you know his work.
Yeah.
You don't know who did it.
Yeah. And I'm so thankful for this guy. Because, it's given me my passion for Star Wars. It's allowed me to connect with people. That's one thing that Alex and I really connect on is Star Wars. I mean, that's our thing, to Star Wars. That's Star Wars is about one of the only things that him and I agree on. I'm Marvel, he's DC.
Yeah.
You know, I'm horror, he's not so much.
That makes for a good talk.
Well, that's both of your sons. Neither one of them are really horror.
No, they're not. But when it comes to Star Wars, I mean, there will be one small little Star Wars reference in our text messages, and it goes on for days. The discussion goes on literally for days about Star Wars. Like, we can't do a show on Star Wars. We cannot do a 2-hour show on Star Wars. It has to be a whole, that's why the whole month of May for the Cinephiles is dedicated to Star Wars.
Let me guess, because it's May, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many cupcakes have been made in honor of said day.
Yeah. May the 4th be with you. Yeah. And Revenge of the 5th.
Oh, God.
It's true.
Welcome to it.
I heard that one. This is your life now. I liked it. I heard that one.
Oh. But, yeah. Okay. So, besides the movie that we watched on Thursday, anybody have anything interesting? Oh, Wednesday. We did not have a Cinephiles last Wednesday.
Right.
There was scheduling conflicts, so we did not have a Cinephiles. We were supposed to have a Cinephiles and introduce Zach, because of scheduling conflicts, you know, we postponed it to next week.
Yeah.
But Wednesday, I won some money from Zach.
Wait, this Wednesday or next
Wednesday,
week?
Last Wednesday, he spent an entire day off away from his house. That is even bigger.
To be fair, I was tired from driving, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Next time, I'll drive. How about that?
It takes 3 hours to get there.
It only takes an hour. No, we, Zach and I went to the range, went to a pistol range, this past Wednesday, and, you got to see my skills with a pistol.
It was fun whether it was money involved or not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a blast. It was a blast.
Much needed therapy.
Yes. Yeah. Some freedom seed injection therapy.
100%.
Yeah. So.
Rifle range, here we come.
Yes, sir. Give you a chance to win your money. Or, you know, for me to take more of your money.
Who knows?
Now, interesting will be when Alex comes into town, and then you all go to.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that.
You're both losing money.
Whoa.
I'm gonna have to send you a picture of the target, and then we can talk.
He beat me by 2 bullets. Keep in mind. I mean,
yeah.
Still 2 bullets, but.
Two bullets. Okay. Your grouping, my grouping. Your grouping?
12 round magazine. 2 bullets.
Well, we're definitely gonna go to the range and get some therapy. Oh. But other than that, Alex, did you have anything interesting going on over the past week and a half?
Not really, no. Just kind of busy doing stuff.
When you say stuff, is that a thing or just nothing?
You know, just doing what I'm told, helping out with anything.
No new projects in the works?
Not right now, I don't think. I don't know. I want to do something, though. Work on something. So I'll figure something out to do.
No doubt.
Well, you were supposed to carry the next 10 minutes, but...
I know that you you took your stepdad to the airport this week.
Yeah, that was interesting. So my stepdad's job requires him to go out of country, and... me and my mom, well, I don't really have to go, but when it's at night, I definitely have to go. And the airport's about an hour away, and we leave around 5 o'clock. It's usually not a big deal. And we're heading there, and God, something happened on the road. I can't remember though. But anyway, we get there, drop him off, and my mom, bless her heart, is a terrible driver at night. Not to mention it was raining / snowing. Not a good idea. So I drive. We're going down the road, and it starts raining. And this is when I'm glad that I drove, because it's raining, and I got the wipers going, and my mother says, how can you see in this weather? I'm like, I just do. That's why I'm driving. And then we get out of it, and then I had a bit of road rage, of my father's road rage, and this lady...
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have road rage.
Oh,
this lady got in front of us. And she passed us. She was on her phone. She passed us, gets in front of me, slows down. And I get very flustered and very angry and yell some obscenities and then get over and speed up and leave her in the dust.
Speedy.
And then this other person gets behind me and it starts flashing their brights. Keep in mind, I am doing the speed limit, quote unquote. And they flashing their brights at me. I'm like, okay, what's their problem? I don't know what their problem is. And I'm just like, whatever. I get over. And the lady that was on her phone, she ends up passing me. And I ended up passing all three of them because I all get over and slow down. And it was very frustrating and annoying. And may or may not have reminded my mother of her ex-husband.
Of your father?
Yeah, just a little bit.
And, I feel like the words fuck you, stupid bitch, and asshole were said at some point in that whole encounter.
All three of those multiple times. I couldn't stand it.
So
yeah.
Last week, our youngest had to put me in my place because twice somebody almost hit us, and admittedly, I might have already been a little annoyed when I got in the car and I was yelling obscenities and flipping them off. And she was like, that's probably somebody we know. And I was like, you're right. I'm sorry.
To be fair, you really only drive in Powell.
I get it. Like, it is probably somebody we know. But when you almost hit me, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Brush them off.
So my stepdad's mother is very I don't know how to say this. No, she's very ditzy, I guess.
Oh, that's not really the word I was going for there.
And she was driving. My stepdad went to go help her with some kind of a scouts thing because she does Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, all kinds of scouts. And he was helping her with something, and on their way back home, she got into an accident.
Oh, wow.
She's okay. She's a little mark on her left arm. They're going down the road, and they come to an intersection. And she's going straight. She has a green light. She's going straight. And the person was in the left turn lane coming and turning. And he came and turned right into her, plain as day. And my mom texts me. She goes, I think we were on the show. It was last Wednesday when I said okay at the end of the show, and I was like, that was nothing. That's when it happened. And I was like, oh, Lord, it's bad. We're going to have to end the show. I'm going to have to leave. It's going to be terrible. A, I thought it was her fault. B, I thought she was almost dead. None of those happened. Her airbags went off, and she has a little mark on her arm. She has a little mark on her arm. Car's totaled. $7,000 in damages. And, yeah, it was very bad. But she's okay.
I cannot tell you the numerous amount of times in just, like, 2 minutes from my house that this happens. Like, it's one light, where suddenly we forget how driving works. And if I'm going straight, you don't fucking turn.
I almost got hit the other day. I was going through a four-way stop, and I stopped, like, the good driver I am. I stop, full stop. I'm the only one there. And the rules are, if you're the first one there, you're the first one to leave.
Yes.
I stop.
Yes, sir.
No one is even at the light, at the stop signs. I stop. I'm like, I'm good to go. I'm going. I'm about halfway through at this point. I've committed. I'm gone. This big old truck comes barreling towards me, slows down, doesn't stop, and is expecting me to stop so he could go through. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck your problem is. And I looked at him like this. I just looked at him my whole way through. Like, I'm not stopping. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I threw my hands up. I was like, what are you doing? I'm already gone. And he just barely hits my rear end. Barely. Didn't hit it.
What?
But he was close. I pedaled to the
okay,
middle.
Okay, there's either barely hit or does not hit. Which
barely
yeah.
misses?
Barely misses is what I meant to say.
Okay.
And
okay,
I'm going through. Barely misses. And I'm clear. Flustered, but clear.
I fail to understand how so many people in this world do not understand how a four-way stop works or that there's a stop sign. Because it happens so frequently.
I'm guilty.
It's terrible.
I own up to that one. I don't stop at stop signs.
I can't, like, I have been just in Powell. I literally hardly drive, other than doctor's appointments, I hardly drive outside of Powell. And the amount of times that I have had near misses, and road rage incidents that make my children almost come to tears is insurmountable. It's a stop sign. Stop at it. And at a light, if I am going ahead of you, please don't turn in front of me because I'll fucking hit you and you'll still lose.
So the other day.
Speaking of which.
I was coming home from work. I was getting off and I was taking somebody home. And so the road that I drive on, no.
I know who it was.
So it's a four lane with a middle turn lane. And so I'm going and I have to get in the middle turn lane to turn left.
Right.
Well, the person, the street that I'm turning left, there's somebody stopped there to come out and make the right.
Right.
Well, I have the right of way. Because
right?
I'm oncoming traffic.
And it's green.
There's no light there.
He's in the turning lane.
Yeah, I'm in the turning lane to cross the two lanes of traffic. There's no light there.
That's scary.
Yeah, but there was no traffic coming. There's no traffic coming. So I get in and I turn. I'm going, I have the right of way. I am oncoming traffic. You yield to me. Well, as soon as I make that turn, she steps on the gas. Not this little bitty, like steps on the gas. I had to jerk my wheel over to swerve out of the way. And I am just like, what the, I mean, like I could literally see the color of her eye. She was that close to my car.
I don't understand. Tennessee is literally the worst drivers I've ever seen. I can't deal with it. I drove in Seattle for years. Seattle.
Learned how to drive.
Seattle did not stress me out, did not give me anxiety, worst, like, traffic ever. Then we moved to Tennessee, and I'm like, I can't even drive on the fucking freeway. I cannot deal with this shit.
I used to drive Fort Campbell Boulevard, which is ranked as one of the top 10 most dangerous roads in the United States.
Also used to drive that. Still was not as stressful as driving in my tiny town.
Right?
I tell you, I'm a little sick of how to beat that. Two things in Tennessee I got to remember. One, whoever has the biggest vehicle will always win.
My bitch will always win.
So everybody's going to hesitate. Two, if you go fast enough, everybody will stop. Because they will always second guess themselves.
I mean, you're not wrong on some things. I'm not afraid of the big vehicles.
No, I'm not.
If I'm in the right and I'm going and you hit me, you're buying me a new car,
right,
pay for my medical bills, and paying off my house.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it.
Well, I mean, as far as like the bigger vehicle, if you come to a four-way stop, you're in your car, I'm in my car, Alex is in his car, and a big lifted Cummins comes through, I'm not going.
Oh, I'm 100% going. If I'm first, I'm 100% going.
I'm saying we all pull up at a red or a stop sign at once. You know, one of those moments you can't tell who got there
first. Right.
I'm not going because his left front tire could kill me.
You could literally run over the front end of your car.
Yes, it could.
Yeah, yeah. And I have no front end of my car.
No, so you're good.
I'm good. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick little break. When we come back, we are going to talk about The Kingsman. It is the prequel to the 2014 movie Kingsman. And yeah, we will be discussing that. So we'll be back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you are just tuning in, we are finally back from a three-month hiatus for Movie of the Week. And you can join us. Call in 718-664-9735 or hit us up on Twitch. Live stream on Twitch. Curiosity Media. All right. Your camera is pointed up towards the light.
I know.
Is there a reason for that? Not that any of our viewers could see our cameras.
There we go. See, we can't see it fine.
But, you know, we have our own little thing going on here where we can see each other so we can talk, because it's a lot easier that way. But anyway, all right, so what the fuck are you doing?
I'm petting the cat.
There you go. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus. Angel can't work her damn phone, and Zach's over here messing with the
pussy. To be fair, I'm in a chair that I never sit in.
I understand that, but you've kind of been bumped down a little bit in this hierarchy of this show.
Uh-oh.
You weren't here when the seats were assigned.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to take the words back. Nobody bumps Mama down.
Anyway, tonight we are talking about the Kingsman. Came out in 2021. Directed by Matthew Vaughn. Screenplay by Matthew Vaughn and Carl Gadusik. Nice, fuck that names. It's based on a comic book series, The Secret Service, as are the other ones. And it stars Ralph Fiennes and Gemma Arterton.
I feel like you're struggling and I don't have a point of reference in front of me.
I'm sorry.
You keep looking at me and I'm like, oh, I don't know.
The dude from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know.
Yeah. And the guy from The Replacements.
And Underworld.
Alex, yeah. I'm leaving it to you to correct the pronunciation when they get it wrong because I don't have a way to look at it.
Okay.
Okay. So the guy that played Rasputin is the kicker for the movie The Replacements. I only know that. Well, so I saw it on my IMDb, and I recognized him. I'm like, where is that? Where do I know him from? And then The Godfather.
Of course.
Yeah. Put on the movie The Replacements downstairs, and I was like, holy crap, that's him. That's Rasputin. Grigori Rasputin.
Right,
yeah. Okay. So the Kingsman is set
I think it's 1942. World War One.
It's World War One, it's around, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s. Probably starts at like 1900.
I think it was 1899, 2000. Or not 2000.
Well, that's a big jump.
I think the first thing it said it was South Africa, 1897, and then it goes to 12 years later.
Yeah.
So it could have been either or.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's around the start of World War One and stuff like that. 1912, 1913, 1914 were the years of World War One. That's what this is set in. And it tells the beginning. Basically the beginning of the Kingsman, the Secret Service that is this big spy organization.
Well, that formed on its own outside of, like,
government and stuff like that.
Organization.
Sanctioned by the King of England at the time.
Yes.
Because he was actually at the table at the,
right,
at the end. So... so yeah, it's basically it's a prequel.
I'm not gonna lie, it was a little sad not having Taron Egerton in it. When we rewatched The King's Men,
yeah,
it reminded me how, because, you know, we don't see a lot of as many new movies like pouring out, and we haven't seen Taron Egerton a whole lot since.
Right.
And I had a lot of hope for him when we saw The Kingsman, because he's freaking amazing in the movies. So it was a little sad not seeing him in it, but it was still an entertaining movie.
Well, I mean, you can't exactly put him in.
No, you can't.
You know, because it's basically
set so
100
far.
Years before.
Right. But I will admit it was, I don't know that it was a needed movie, but it was a good movie.
I would say that it's a needed movie for me. It was interesting to see the formation of the Kingsman. Although there were some rough parts in it and some parts I didn't really really agree with. You know, things that I thought that they could do better. But other than that, I thought it was good. So. Somebody?
No, I thought it was super entertaining. What about you, Alex? Because I did. I thought it was entertaining. I really actually liked the whole, I don't want to call it a fortress because it's more like a farm on a mountain, but.
Oh, yeah.
Transmere Mountain.
Yeah.
Like, I did like that. I thought it was pretty cool. It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
It was an entertaining movie. It was better than what I expected because I was not actually expecting much when we went into it.
Okay. I can see that.
I didn't know the director. I didn't know, like, I just wasn't expecting much. I felt like it was a pandemic movie.
Okay.
I felt like it was just something to fill the space. And then when we watched it, I was like,
To me, I think it was like an indie movie. It's one of those movies that didn't have a lot of budget.
What? Pick up. The microphone. That's right there.
I hated the movie.
What?
It sucked.
What?
We tell him to speak up and he's just
drunk. I hated it.
He's going to go through this whole big long thing of, you know, what he didn't like and these little nuanced things that he does every time when we're at work. We get him in the seat. We get him on the air, and he's like, I hated it.
We'll break it down. It was about, I think it was a two-hour-long movie.
Was it 2 hours?
It was
2 hours. 2.5, 2.6. Anyway, I felt like it was like 4 or 5 individual movies all in one movie.
I will say,
like, the plot was jumping.
I will say that was one of the issues that I had, was that it would start out, then you get to this plot point, and it would stop.
Right.
And then it would kind of carry over into another plot point, and then it would stop.
And then it would jump back to the original one.
Yeah.
And then stop.
Yeah. It kind of seemed like it was all over the place. Alex?
Yes, yeah, sort of. I don't know. I thought the plot, it had the same idea through the whole thing. I just think they didn't jump around the plot all so much. They just kind of jumped around. Does that make sense?
They jumped around the story.
Like, they would start with, like, in the beginning, they were in Africa. And then they jump forward to, they jump forward, and Conrad's all grown up, and then they jump to military people, and they jump back to the house, and they jumped to the bad guys, and then they jump back here. I mean, it was cohesive. Like, I wasn't really lost or anything. It was just it was skippy and jumpy. But I didn't hate it. I didn't hate that about the movie.
So I didn't hate the movie. I liked the movie. But I didn't like it as much as the first one.
First one was great.
So the first one was one cohesive story.
Right.
Beginning, end. This one, the issue that I had was, so you have this build up, and then it stops. Like there's no conclusion to this build up.
Right.
And then you bring in a whole other storyline, and you have this build up, and then it stops. And then you bring in this other storyline, and it's build up, and then it gets all the way to the end, to this big reveal, and then the big reveal was just, to me, and I discussed this with you, Alex, I might have discussed this with you, But to me, the big reveal at the end, the big, you know, shocker at the end was, for me, it was kind of a letdown. Because, you know, you're supposed to have this big reveal of who the bad guy is and all that. And it just was kind of like, okay, well, it's a forgettable character.
Wow, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm watching the movie and they, you know, they reveal the character, they reveal the guy. I'm thinking to myself, okay, what part does he play in the movie? And then they do the flashbacks. So I'm like, oh, really?
I didn't remember him.
Like, you did all this just because England took over Scotland.
Right.
Well, I will admit, there was a lot of lead up to him and who he was, which was kind of annoying, actually. Not gonna lie. Like, the whole secretive thing was kind of annoying because when it came out who he was kind of a bitch, but...
He was kind of a nobody.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. That was the... That was
it
the,
might have actually been better if we would have known who it was the whole time.
Yeah. If we would have been in on the secret the whole time, I think it would have made the movie a little better.
Right.
And honestly, like, the part with him at the party when they're trying to pull one over on him was a little cringy.
Are you talking about Rasputin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, with
the
trying to seduce.
I didn't know where it was going, and there was a couple moments where I was like, I don't really understand why it's going this far.
That was, yeah,
so
that was a weird thing.
On the second watch, I caught it. Because they were basically saying that so in the train, going to...
He likes everybody.
Right, but their intelligence said that, you know, he likes
young boys. Yes.
But then when they're at the table and Conrad is trying to seduce him, Rasputin is like,
it
you know,
really gross
cause I want
like,
somebody
I
with
like teaching tonight, and I was like,
yeah, yeah, I want somebody with experience, and I'm just like,
ew.
But the thing is that's how Rasputin was in real life. I mean, they got his character.
That hit the nail on the head.
I'm glad they got it right, but it doesn't make it less cringy.
No, I agree.
It was pretty freaking, like, there were a couple moments, even though they didn't really go into it, but as a parent.
Yeah.
Or a person.
Yeah.
When he said things, I was like, oh, ew.
Well, the part that got me was when he was licking the
leg. I was like, why?
All the noises he was making.
Yeah.
Stop this scene.
Right. It was just like, am I watching like softcore?
What's about to happen? Because whatever's about to happen, I don't need it. And dude who's supposed to be a spy is actually grossing me out more than the dude licking his leg.
Right.
You're not doing your job. You had one job.
Right.
The fight scene afterwards, though, was pretty cool.
Especially in the water, that was...
Yeah. So
the whole thing up leading to where he got him in the
lake
or whatever outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that my favorite part of that was Rasputin basically doing ballet while he's beating the crap out of these three guys.
It's such a weird scene. That whole... multiple scenes, that whole area of those two in that room was so fucking weird.
It was. Him, like, devouring that cake, just taking the bite,
and then not dying.
Well, that's what I liked about it. They kind of hit the nail on the head, because he's Russian, and he didn't care.
Yeah.
And look where we're at now. No, sorry.
Sorry.
Wow.
That's what?
Well, I think you broke Alex on that one.
No, I'm good.
Wow.
His name was what? Rasputin?
Rasputin.
Rasputin?
I see where you're going with that. It was a lame joke.
I done.
I don't get it.
Putin.
Oh.
Rasputin.
Rasputin,
yeah.
Okay, no, I'm done. Yeah. Let's go. It's
over when we had to explain it. Sorry.
I'm done. It was a little funny in my head, but I'm done.
You done? Okay. So I will say the fight scenes in this movie were absolutely beautifully choreographed.
one of the best fight scenes, in my opinion, was at the trenches. When they all, when there's about seven
yes.
or eight of them out
yeah.
there.
And they're all doing the hand-to-hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was probably one of the better fight scenes that I have seen in any movie. Because you've got, so you've got the British on one side, you've got the Germans on the other.
Right.
And they all have rifles, and they all meet. And the German looks at the British guys, and he puts his finger to his lips, you know, like, shh. You
yeah.
know, like, we both,
yeah.
we want to kill you, but we don't want our guys to shoot at us.
Right.
You know, and then they all, you know, gentlemanly, respectfully, put their rifles down and get out their hand-to-hand
knives,
weapons.
Hammers, pickaxe, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got the British on one side getting these little bitty knives, and you've got the Germans that have these freaking gauntlets that have
yeah.
knives on them, and these hammers, and these gas masks, and they looked frightening. And I will say that was probably one of the better fight scenes that I've seen
in a while,
in any movie, because it was silent. All you heard was the clashing of the knives.
There was no
and
yelling,
weapons.
Shouting.
No.
It was quiet fighting.
Yeah.
I will admit also when that kid died was one of the rare moments in a movie that really took me aback.
Yeah,
so
with Conrad? Yeah.
I was not expecting it at all, and it was kind of graphic, and it definitely... Like, it threw me off for a few minutes.
It took my breath away.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't see that coming at all.
No, because he didn't die by
the
enemy's hands.
Right.
No.
Yeah. 100%. It took my that was a good way
yeah.
to put it. It took my breath away.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
And I will say that is actually, for me, that's actually one of the parts that actually ruins the movie.
Yeah. Like, it really... it was so shocking.
So, the way that I saw the movie going, and you guys can correct me, or you guys can say how you saw it. So, the way that I saw it was after the mission in Russia was that Orlando... and Conrad were going to continue those types of missions
yes.
throughout the movie.
I was thinking the same thing.
And that Conrad was going to be the first Lancelot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's and I get that you have to have twists in a movie.
Right.
And you have to have these moments that shock you. But,
I know, but they built Conrad up to a point where I thought he was going to be the first real Kingsman.
And that's,
yeah.
I think that's what we were all thinking.
Yeah.
And then that's where it goes back to, you know, this plot leads up, and then just goes away.
And
right.
then what happens to the other dude? Like, what?
Yeah. The guy
well,
that was impersonating.
The thing is, though, that's the kind of beauty of it, I guess, is the, in the beginning, in Africa, when Conrad's mother dies, she's like, keep him away from war. Don't let that boy see war. Like, just don't let it happen.
Which was
and then,
yeah.
And then he tries the Duke of Oxford. I forgot his actual name. He tries his whole life to keep his son safe, and it kind of backfires. So he kind of gives him a little bit of leeway by doing those missions. But when Conrad got that taste of action and doing something for his country, he was like, I could be using my skills on the front line helping the guys
so,
that are fighting instead of sitting here. And then
so
he ends up dying by war.
Yeah.
And it kind of sends Orlando into a spiral.
What bothers me about it is that from a parent point of view, he could have continued on with those missions doing good things for his country, which is what his dad wanted, and he would have had all of that excitement and everything he was looking for,
yeah.
and refused to listen to his father, which I get it. Everybody goes through it. But had he done that, he would have been alive.
Right.
Well, if you remember, him and his dad had that one conversation about reputation and character.
Yeah.
And he got that white feather. And he was like, yeah, I might be helping my country, but no one knows it's me.
Right.
And he kind of feels envious of other people.
He had the reputation thing stuck in his head.
Right.
Versus
his character.
The character
was amazing. I won't debate that.
No.
It's that inability to listen to the people above you who sometimes really do know better.
Well, we you and I as parents.
I mean, he knows better and whatnot, but I don't think Conrad's goal was to go to war and everything was going to be okay and he'd come back a hero. He was going there to... I don't think he really cared for living or dying at that point. He would just wanted to... His actions were selfless and that he just wanted to go out and fight, die, whatever he had to do for his country. And what he was doing with his dad just wasn't enough. And he just wanted more. He wanted to do more. Because what they did in Russia didn't really do much. They killed the Rasputin. But did it? Because it was supposed to stop World War One, and it just got even worse.
It wasn't supposed to stop World War One.
It was supposed to stop Russia and stuff from getting involved.
It was supposed to stop Russia. No, because... Okay, so originally the war was between...
Russia and Germany and Germany and England.
Yeah, Russia and Germany and England. If Russia pulled out of the war, which is what Rasputin was trying to get the Tsar to do, then all the focus would have been Germany against
England,
and England would have lost.
Right.
The Duke of Oxford what their goal was to stop that from happening, and the only way to do that was to kill Rasputin so that Russia stayed in the war, and the focus for Germany was Russia instead of England, and that, you know, England and Russia can essentially stop Germany.
Which is almost like, I hate to say it, but like, it's almost very telling of the current situation. I would not encourage my own children at this point, no matter how selfless it was, to go to war right now.
So I want to go back to that. I don't think his motives were 100% purely selfless, because he said,
not really, but
you know,
it
when
was
I get
just,
my Iron Cross,
yeah,
I'll drop out.
He
yeah.
wanted to feel the same level of not importance.
He wanted to earn what he had in life. Not have everything handed to him. He wanted the nice things and stuff, but he wanted that nice lifestyle and whatnot, but he didn't want it like handed to him. And the way that he saw to go about that was to earn the same reputation as dad did.
I don't even know if it's about having the nice things. I think he just wanted to feel like he was equal to dad. Like, you earned your way.
He wanted to earn his place in the world.
You did a great thing.
Yeah.
I want to do the great thing, too.
Right.
Which I get, and that's wonderful. And he really did, he did earn it, and he did earn his place, but I just don't know that the sacrifice was worth the fight.
Right.
It was, because he got the information back to, like, the telegraph.
The negative,
he got the,
yeah,
he got the real.
He did.
He got the real telegraph back from the Germans that got the United States involved, and that was able to help the war.
He was a huge hero.
But that's not what got the U.S. into the war.
Right. No, what got me the most about that whole situation was he's impersonating someone else. He goes out there, he saves his life, he gets intel. Why not just tell him his actual name?
Yeah.
And then your country literally turns on you.
I think either way he was done, though, because if he would have said, yeah, my name's Conrad, then they'll say, well, Conrad's supposed to be out. He's not supposed to be here. He's not supposed to be on the front lines. You're a German imposter. Pow. If he would have said, well, my name's such and such, and the guy, what happened in the movie, he got ended up getting, I think either way, he was ended up getting killed because he wasn't supposed to be there.
That
makes sense.
It does.
It's just a really painful.
It may have bought him some time, but he broke rules and certain stuff, and I don't think.
Well, he got recognized. Like he got recognized as not being who he was.
Right.
No.
Who he was playing.
Right, he got recognized as Conrad because the
other dude told him.
Yeah, the other guy, the real Lance Corporal, showed up at the Duke of Oxford's house and presented him with the letter and the Iron Cross.
Right, but he got
recognized as Conrad.
He didn't get recognized as Conrad. He got recognized as somebody they didn't know because the person who asked him about it knew the other person. Knew that he was not supposed to be there.
Oh, they knew that they knew that the guy in the German uniform was a good guy. He was from Britain because of
He was a spy.
The initial thing that caused them to go out and retrieve him, and then they had a guy come back that was in SWAT uniforms. They know for sure that that guy is a good guy. They don't know who Conrad was, and when they ask him who Conrad is, Conrad lies and ends up taking his life.
Because they knew a PFC that he took?
Lance Corporal.
That person knew the Lance Corporal, knew what he looked like, knew he wasn't supposed to be there anyway.
Fake accent, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Said that's not his face, that's not who he is.
Right. You would think that they would have figured
questioned
something out
a little further before just shooting.
Well,
like,
yeah,
you've got all
the
armed men around this person.
I agree with you on that. My thing is how did they not, how did they not recognize him before all that?
At the very least, I was a little surprised that they did not capture him because they were all around him. They all had guns. They were all there.
Yeah.
Like, captured him, maybe made him a criminal of war, tortured him a little bit. I mean, not that it's a good thing, but
they all kind of recognized him, though. They all kind of knew who he was, except the one guy that ended up shooting him was just off the rails about it.
Yeah.
I think it was really just that one guy.
German symbol and was like, "Oh, you're a German imposter. You know, you're a German spy." Boom.
It was super shocking, and
yeah.
I literally felt when they told his dad, and when she came in to talk to him.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I was very close to tears. I felt that.
Yeah, that was a whole moment.
Yeah.
For me, though, I don't think that it was needed, simply because, so you had the Duke of Oxford, you had Orlando, who had done this mission,
right,
and he was still part of this underground intelligence with his staff, with all the rest of the staff everywhere, over in Russia, in Germany, and, in the United States. I mean, they had this whole network. And you're building that up. This goes back to that point that you were making. You're building that up, and then all of a sudden you have the death, and he stops, but then he gets a slap in the face from, from Polly.
The nanny.
Like, you need to pick yourself up. This is what your son would have wanted. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, let's go back at it. In those moments, it was very choppy. The storyline
didn't make sense.
Didn't fit the flow of the movie.
Right. I mean, it had its highlights. I'm not gonna say it was a bomb. 0 out of 10. It had its highlights. There's just too many plot holes and too many goofs to overlook. Like I don't remember even whenever the dude was handing out all the rings. There's at least 10 or 20 people at the table.
Yeah.
But throughout the course of the movie, it shows 5, maybe 6 people wearing a ring.
Yeah.
So where did everybody else go?
Yeah. What was their point?
Yeah.
Yeah. You focused on the British.
England, United States, Russia.
Yeah.
And then one other person. And I mean, that was like it.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the shepherd's killed, and then what happens from there?
Right.
Are these other people told?
Did you guys watch the end credit scene?
I did.
Did we watch the end credit scene?
I might have missed it.
Really?
There was an end credit scene, and it was pretty massive.
Yeah.
What was it, Alex?
Well, that's why I think people's going to show up.
in the end, the German, the guy who ended up playing the German, ends up taking over that whole ring, and then he brings in a new bad guy and says, well, this guy has plans for all of us, and it ends up being Hitler.
I think we did see that. Yes, we did. Yeah. We did. I missed it on the second showing. On the second
Movie. So I think those people, the other people around the table, were kind of to represent the other countries that kind of got swallowed up by Germany and stuff, like Austria and Hungary.
Got
and
pulled into
those countries. Those countries, the 20 people at that table, I think were supposed to represent those countries. And when they got the rings, they kind of, it's implied that they kind of have their roles. He says, you will do what I say, when I say it, how I say it, whatnot. And we see the people with the bigger roles to kind of kick off World War One, and then the people with the smaller background roles is kind of just, you kind of have to know the history to know how they fit in. That's how I kind of think of it, is that I think those are just the smaller country representatives that got swallowed up.
That makes sense.
It does. Which leads to the possibility of another King's Man movie, kind of leading into...
kind of catch up with the first one.
Yeah.
You have a prequel set, what, maybe 100 years, 110, 15 years?
They're roughly about 100 years apart.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no telling how many...
See where it evolves.
Yeah. So I will say, though, that this movie did a lot of referencing, or like back referencing to the original.
Yes.
Because the original had the big mansion, which is where they all trained, which is the Duke of Oxford's house.
Right.
We saw the decanter in at the end of the first movie, which is the one that they drink out of whenever an agent dies in the field.
Right.
And they, you know, they even referenced it in that movie. The last time they drank out of this was,
right,
you know, like 100 years ago, or was when Exie's father died.
Right.
You know, before that was,
which would be kind of cool to see the lead up with Exie's father.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, there's
multiple different avenues they could go with it. Yeah, I'm assuming the next prequel movie, I don't know how many prequel movies they're doing, but they have a lot of material to pull from World War One to modern day. I think the Kingsman, the whole spy thing, would work very well with the Cold War era, so they might do a World War Two movie. I'm assuming they will. And then move on to maybe Vietnam Cold War era.
I was about to say, I mean, think about how many wars that took place between 1900 and 2000.
Yeah.
That's how many movies you could have.
Yeah.
I'm definitely more likely to watch those than, like, James Bond.
Whoa. Disrespecting.
I am not a James Bond fan. I was so happy to see a new type of spy movie come out.
It is very James Bond-esque.
But it's more interesting.
It's more laid back and not as stuffy as James Bond. I grew up on James Bond, okay? I grew up on Sean Connery.
I sort of
Roger
feel
Moore.
Like James Bond takes itself too seriously as a spy movie. Like,
yeah.
It's the end of the world. We have to – this is the only way to do it. It's so serious. But Kingsman, it just doesn't take itself as serious. Like, it's the end of the world. It's World War One. I'm going to parachute myself out of a plane onto a mountain, you know?
I'm gonna
storm a military fortress with a saber and a pistol. You know, it doesn't take itself too serious, and I'm glad it doesn't, because I think it lends itself well to that.
It kind of makes fun of the, like, James Bond type movies, specifically James Bond movies, which is what I think it was meant to do. I haven't read the comics. I'm kind of interested. Like, I'd like to see the comics. They're called The Secret Service. just to see, like, how closely they're based off of them.
I mean, I kind of think they made the Kingsman movie kind of like to go side and side or kind of make fun of James Bond. Only because, you know, James Bond is, or 007 is MI6.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is a whole other organization also based in England.
Right. Right. So, and...
They do kind of poke fun at that, don't they? We're not affiliated with the government. We're a private institution that works outside of government bounds, while James Bond is tied down by government and laws and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. The Kingsmen can go in and basically do whatever the fuck they want, and...
Nothing will happen.
Yeah, really.
Because they're not affiliated with any government. So if they get captured, you know what I mean? Nobody can say, hey, yeah, that's our guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, it's kind of like a mix of Mission Impossible and James Bond without the government involved.
And a lot more comedic.
Yeah, because, I mean, in the original Kingsman movie, heads exploding looked like little puffs of smoke.
Can't forget about the first spot thing, though.
Oh, in the
standard in the church.
Oh yeah, or that's not the first fight scene.
First movie with fight scene.
Yeah. So, I will say though that Orlando was kind of a badass. He was kind of a badass in his hand-to-hand fighting.
I think his driver was better though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Merlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of a badass, too.
I mean, he jumped on a cable, rode it all the way to the top.
And then decapitated somebody. So you'll take a bullet for me, but you won't jump out of an airplane. I guess so.
Yeah. Kills the dude with machete in the very first of the movie.
Yeah. So I have a huge problem with the first part of the movie. The very, very beginning of the movie.
Got stretch camp.
Nope, because that was a real thing.
I know.
Yeah. So Orlando gets shot. And so his wife is coming in, Orlando gets shot, and his wife...
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Because upon watching it a second time, I was like, that is the fucking dumbest thing that you could have ever told
him
to do.
Runs in a straight line towards the shooter.
Right. Get up and run while there's an active fucking sniper out there. He literally set his wife...
Not only that, because they knew his child was safe at the person he was with.
Yeah,
right.
That was the safest place he could have been.
Yeah, he was with somebody who was meant to protect him.
That's
was
literally his whole job.
There to protect him.
Yeah, literally his whole job.
He could have said either lay down or run sideways.
Lay down would have been the best.
Yeah, stay where you are.
Didn't Conrad get out of the carriage though?
After
the shooter was dead.
Oh, I thought he had got out, and then they got shot, and then that's when the guy went out and killed him. I thought that's why she was running in the first place.
No, so as soon as the shots were fired, Merlin looked at Conrad and said, stay here, and got down. As soon as Orlando, the Duke of Oxford, was shot, that's when he said that. And the wife came running over to him. And... all that they saw was that Conrad was in the cart, which he was safe because his head was down.
Right.
And he peeked his head up a little bit after, you know, just picked it up a little bit. The shots were aimed at the concentration camp, not at the caravan, not at the Red Cross.
Exactly.
So the son was safe either way. He told his wife,
he sent her to
her death. I noticed that, and I'm like, why? Like, that is not something that I would do. Like, I would if I'm in an active war zone, if I get shot and there's a sniper.
You don't know where he's at.
No, and my wife comes running up to me, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to lay my body across her.
Lay down.
I know my kid is safe with that guy up there. Right. That's literally his entire job is to keep my child safe. The sniper is pointed at us. Not them. I would rather them shoot at us than him.
See, to me, I think...
Well, we know that the sniper, us as an audience knows that the sniper was aiming at the Duke, but the Duke didn't know. There's just shots being fired. They didn't know where from. They didn't know who or how many. There was just shots being shot at. So he didn't know that his child was safe. He didn't know if anyone was safe.
Your child?
Well, that's why he had his driver.
He can't walk or run. I mean, at that point, the driver had ran out to find the sniper.
You don't want your life to run towards fire.
Yeah. The thing is when you have, I hate to use this term, but it's what it is. When you have an active shooter in the area, you don't get up and run. You get down. If you have a weapon, you fire in the direction that the shots are coming from.
Well, see, I think everybody knows that. Like,
did you bear crawl to that baby?
Well,
right?
It's like whether it's a sniper or, you know, any sudden movement will alert the gunman.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's the thing. I know that if there ever was, and we didn't know where the shooter was coming from, you didn't know any of us children are safe. And nobody knows where the shots are coming from.
You know.
What are you going to do? If you don't know we're safe, are you going to just lay down and let us get shot at? Or not knowing
know.
We're getting shot at?
I'm going
to Are you going to get up and run? I mean, your guy.
Yeah.
I know that you guys put your safety second to ours. So, seeing it in a movie, putting her safety second to her child.
It's the truth.
I mean,
yeah.
Even if
you trust that person who is with their child with their life, it doesn't really matter.
I also, though, would not have brought my kids into a war zone.
Well, it wasn't a war zone.
That's the other thing, though.
That's why they didn't bring the caravan into the gates. She knew it was dangerous.
Right.
She should have never been there. If she was going to be there, fine, but she should have never brought him.
I don't think any of them should have really been there. I think it should have been Orlando, the driver.
Right. So we're looking at it from our perspective.
Absolutely. I just think she should have. She was a humanitarian. That was her whole point.
She
should have not brought her son with her.
In hindsight, yes. However, when you look at the time period and when you look at, I mean, you can even look at like Red Cross workers now when they go overseas and do, you know, whatever they're doing. If it's a married couple and they have children, they take their children with them, regardless of the situation.
I don't know. I don't think I think I would have gone another way. I don't know that I would have brought my child into a war area. I get her job. She's a very strong female. That was what she did. No one told her what to do. I got it. I 100% respect her for that. Maybe bringing him with was a horrible decision. And it cost her her life.
Yeah. Yeah. From our perspective in 2021, it is. In 1897, that was common practice.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
But at the same time, also, I still want to say, you know, on a level, there had to have been a better way to get to your child. She wasn't stupid. She was unpracticed. They had somebody who was specifically trained in those things to protect him. Why just get up and run, though? Like, I get what Alex is saying, and yes, I'm going to do what I need to do to get to my kids. But she put herself 100% at risk by just standing up and running.
Yeah, there's a better way that could have been handled.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that bullet was meant for her.
I think it was meant for the general.
She got up and started running, and he got shot. A bullet was shot before anything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bullet was aimed at the general.
There was an extremely freak accident that could have been prevented in modern ways, it definitely could have been prevented, but in their stubborn old ways, definitely not. That's why we have our modern ways of doing things.
We learn from the mistakes of the past.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Don't stand up when there's a sniper in the area. Don't run in a straight line.
Zigzags, people, zigzags.
Harder
hits and moving.
Do not voluntarily go into the moment. Kind of like when there was a active shooter here, you know, driving down the road, just shooting people in their cars. You know what I did? I stayed home. So I needed to go to the store, but instead I was like, nah, I just wait here.
I'm not going to go to the active shooter.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good right now.
Yeah.
that there's an active shooter at the store. Hey, we really need some milk.
Christine was literally just driving down the road shooting at cars, and I was like, oh, I'm glad I got online and saw that.
New car.
I just wait at home. I'm good. I didn't actually need milk that bad.
Kids can eat dry cereal. It's fine.
We're good.
It's fine. Husband can drink black coffee.
We really needed milk. Gotta go risk my life for it.
Right? No, I'm good.
So there's a snowstorm tomorrow. There's an active shooter today. I've really got to go get my milk and bread.
DoorDash.
Somebody else can put their life at risk.
Uber Eats. Make Kroger deliver,
right.
Bastards.
Nah,
I hate Walmart delivery.
I'm good.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
Can't go to the store. This store comes to you.
We've actually had things delivered to our house that weren't ours.
Yeah, but they worked.
Yeah.
Thanks, Walmart.
Right. Thanks for our extra filters.
We've also had things that we've ordered delivered to somebody else's house, so that's cool too.
Yep. Thanks, Walmart.
And Target.
Amazon doesn't have. Yep. Yeah. Okay, so quick sidetrack.
I hate Amazon.
It wasn't even Amazon.
Quick sidetrack here.
Lazy driver.
So my house is a different number than the other house. I'm not going to say my house number over the air.
It's four different, though.
Yeah.
We're talking like...
So the last number...
Couple tens.
The last digits of my house number are 17. Okay. So I'm at work the other day. I'm at work Thursday. And I get a phone call from a random person that leaves me a voicemail. That's like, hi, my name is such and such. Your mattress got delivered to my house. I live at, you know, blah, blah, 30.
Yeah,
on this road.
It's like drivers just kind of gave up.
And I'm like, okay. So I called her back and told her I was coming to get it. The thing is it's literally four houses up.
It's two houses up. We have a neighbor and then her.
I mean, to be fair, y'all are on a culture set, so.
But the number's on the fucking mailbox.
Yeah.
People can't read. They can't
it's like,
read.
It's like the delivery person. It's not even Target because it was delivered by a secondary delivery service, whether it was UPS or FedEx or the United States Postal Service.
I guarantee it was just a person. That's why you get delivery through Target. I guarantee it was just a person.
What they didn't want to go all the way down the cul-de-sac, and they're like, ah,
right,
close
like,
enough.
They were like,
their phone number's
they,
on it.
They drove. So our cul-de-sac, to be fair, our cul-de-sac is numbered super weird. The fact that we're 17, two houses up should either be 21 or, like, 13. That's how it should be.
It's not. It's
instead, 33. We're 17, and two houses up is 33. So you know this dumbass drove through the whole cul-de-sac and was like, I don't fucking know.
Well, and to be fair, her numbers are not on her mailbox. So he was probably like, oh, this is probably
this
it.
Is, this is
if most, not, they'll find
GPS
it.
GPS shows me exactly what stuff my house is, but whatever.
Not all the time. I will say there has been times where I've topped in badges running go, I'll get here, you've arrived, and I'll see my destination about a mile over here.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's up with this?
But the plus is that she was a very sweet little old lady, and she just didn't want it. And I don't blame her because it was a whole ass mattress. And she was like, please come get it.
Yeah. And it's a good thing my phone number was on. It's kind of creepy, but a good thing that my phone number was on the address label. Although, literally, all she would
the
have had to do.
Any time that our number has been listed on an address label, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, all she probably would have done is walked down,
yeah,
rang the doorbell, and been like, hey, your package is up at my house.
Yeah, very sweet little lady.
Yeah,
and
yeah, wonderful
happy.
Neighbor.
The next driver the next day was like, oh, this is the right address, and dropped it at the right door.
Yeah.
Because our kids needed mattresses, and I wasn't about to pay for another one.
Oh, I wouldn't have paid for another one. I would have been like, hey, your dumbass driver delivered it to the wrong fucking house. I don't have it.
I'll tell you, free stuff. You get your mattress. Oh, yeah, I never got that.
Yeah.
It never came. But anyway.
And there's the story.
So, but I will say, though, that overall, even with its flaws, the movie wasn't horrible.
I wouldn't say it was horrible at all.
Was it bad? There's a lot of stuff that kind of could have improved.
There's a lot of stuff that could have been that a lot of stuff in the script, a lot of weird plot lines and things that, and reveals and shocking moments that just seemed like they were forced in order to
create the story.
Yeah, move the plot along. It's like, okay, so we got this plot, but we need to explore this plot. But how do we connect this plot to this plot and deal with this? Oh, let's shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
It seems like that's what happened in a lot of...
It has nothing to do with the story whatsoever, but we're going to tell you about it anyway.
Yeah, and then at the end they're like, oh... It's like, so when they wrote the script, it's like, oh, we're going to write the script. We've got this character. But at the end, they're like, okay, so now who's the bad guy? Like, they didn't have a plan for the bad guy all along.
I feel like whoever wrote the script must be delivering mail to you because they're mixing shit up. So,
yeah.
Like, page 5 is actually underneath page 70. Page 70 is on page 5. So, like, you're reading it, you're like, oh, we're going to do this thing. And then back later, we're doing this thing. Nothing more back at this thing.
But for me, it wasn't enough for me to not like the movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was enough to make the movie feel kind of awkward at times. And kind of like, okay, so what was the point of this plot? Okay, we find out here, but it really doesn't... This whole other storyline really wasn't needed to get us to this point, but you had to tell the storyline because you mentioned something back here, so now you have to have this whole storyline.
Yep.
But now we get to go back to the original plot line. It was wonky for me.
I mean, overall score for me, 5 out of 10.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I had a lot of good moments. I also had a lot of stupid moments. And the biggest flaw I had, and I repeat it again, there was like 4 separate movies in that one movie.
Okay. And that's actually going to lead us, because there are 4 people tonight. We're going to start it a little early. That's going to lead us to our final act.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
All right. So, Zach, you're new. We are going to actually start with somebody else so you can see how we do the final act. Alex.
Yes.
We're going to start with your final act. What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you recommend it? Would you watch it again?
Okay.
Or would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
What I liked about the movie, the action, the shots and sequences, how they were set up was very nice. The acting I thought was very, very good in this movie. I enjoyed it. It wasn't like bad to where, you know, like, oh, why'd they choose these actors? These actors are terrible. No, they got really good actors for this, and it shows. What I didn't like about the movie, not a whole lot, to be honest. I really liked this movie. It was jumpy at times. But I liked the twists and the turns they did. The villain was kind of meh. I get it, but at the same time, maybe you've chose a better person to be the villain. I don't know who, but choose a better person next time. And I think they did with Hitler. I don't know. I love this movie. I really did. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was funny. Ralph Fiennes, is that how you say it?
I think so.
Carried this movie on his back, and he was phenomenal in this movie. Yeah. Would I watch it again? Yeah. Do I recommend it? To people who are fans of the Kingsman series, yes. I'd also recommend it to people who aren't, because it's a very good standalone movie. Like, you don't have to watch the other two to enjoy this one. You might not get some of the references, but if you're watching this movie first, which I would recommend you watch it first, in my opinion, and then watch the other two, then you'll kind of see where you'll see, oh, that's where they got that from and stuff. Like the bad guy, he says, manners maketh men in the beginning, and now we know where that saying comes from.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just like how they adopted it. Out of 10, I would give it a 7.5 or an 8. I would give it something higher if it wasn't so jumpy and choppy. But I like the shock value and the action and the acting. So, yeah, 7.5, 7 out of 10 for me.
Okay. Miss Angel, your final act.
I mean, I just liked the movie. I thought, for the most part, the storyline was pretty cool. I loved the action sequences. It was Merlin that was the bodyguard, right?
Yes.
I actually really, he was my favorite in the movie, was Merlin, which doesn't surprise me. And I thought Conrad was a great character. What I didn't like about the movie is that I thought Conrad's role was cut short and they could have done more with him.
Okay.
I also thought that the parts where we were seeing this mysterious enemy were very campy. It didn't bother me a whole lot. I don't feel like it took away from the movie so much, but it was just campy in those parts. Like, there wasn't really a need to keep that kind of secrecy.
Okay.
It was almost like an Austin Powers moment. I didn't really care for it. But for the most part, I thought the movie was pretty good. If we're looking at it from a Kingsman point of view, I do feel like it fit in. I feel like the script was pretty great. The shots from the cliff were amazing. They were a little disorienting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he jumped out?
Yeah.
And he's on the ledge right there? Yeah. Yeah.
I thought those were great.
It kind of gave me a little bit of vertigo. Not going to lie.
Rasputin made me really uncomfortable, but I'm assuming that was the point. No, I liked this movie for what it was. Even if I'd never seen a Kingsman movie, I would have watched it and still enjoyed it. I would absolutely watch it again because I'm 100% certain I miss things. And I would recommend it. I would recommend it because it's something different. You know, we've got very few options as far as new movies coming out. We've got a lot of horror trying to come out right now.
Yeah.
And then you've got this. And this was needed.
Okay.
It's different. It doesn't fall completely in line with the Kingsman movies. So
true.
It's a little different. It's not like James Bond or MI6 or any of those. Like, it's not like those.
Right.
It is a little more, you have to think a little more. You have to appreciate the history of what's happening. Kind of have to know the history of what's happening to really appreciate the movie.
Yeah, like the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. That's exactly how he was assassinated.
Yeah, like you have to kind of appreciate the history that happens with the movie. And I think that's pretty great. But yeah, I would recommend it. And I would definitely watch it again. And I would love to watch it again with the other movies.
Kind of like the Kingsman Marathon.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, Zach. Your final act. What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
So, I would say, to me, it was like 5 out of 10. It was a good movie. Could have been better. I would definitely recommend it and watch it again just because it's not a terrible movie. I've seen a lot of bad movies in my life, and this is not one of them. The action, the historical accurate parts is probably the best parts of the movie. I mean, if you're a history buff like I am, this movie's right up your alley. It was a good movie. Could have been better. Overall, good.
Okay. So, I'll say one of the things that I really liked about the movie, and you guys hit it, you know, hit the nail on the head, is the historical facts within the movie that are drawn in to further the plot of the movie, like the three cousins.
Yes.
The king, the czar, and the the Fuhrer, essentially, of the different regions. They were all cousins. That's actually true, you know. And they are, quote unquote, inbred. And the leader of Germany, I can't remember his name.
Honestly, don't remember.
He actually did have a deformed hand.
He wasn't in that movie a lot.
He wasn't, but the parts that he played were
very significant.
Yeah. The assassination of Duke Ferdinand of Austria. That is literally what started
World War I.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the main factor.
Yeah, that was the catalyst, because Germany thought Russia did it, and, you know, they attacked Russia, and, you know, that's how that got brought in, and stuff like that. So the historical facts of the movie for the war were accurate. They just took those elements and made them as this secret society type thing. And that's one of the things that I really liked. And I really liked the fact that they interconnected all of the waitstaff of everybody everywhere. You know, they took a role that was considered insignificant in that time. Like, you were a maid, you were a cook, you were a butler, you were a nanny, stuff like that.
But they were covers for them.
Yeah, yeah. They were the people that were instrumental in stopping the war. You know, it wasn't politicians. It wasn't, it wasn't soldiers. It wasn't,
generals.
Generals. It wasn't sanctioned spies. It was the everyday person. And that's what I liked about, all the Kingsman movies, but that's what I like specifically about this one, is that it takes that role of the everyday person and makes them more important than what we realize. Did you guys catch the statesman reference? Any of you?
What do you mean?
With the president?
Which part? I might have. Once you start out, man,
it'll
probably click.
Okay. So in the Golden Circle, the headquarters for the American the American part of the Kingsman is located in the Statesman's Brewery, Statesman's Whiskey.
Okay.
The president twice asks for a statesman on the rocks. So okay. They hinted, they kind of, put that little egg in, that little Easter egg in for those that have seen the movies, which I thought was kind of cool, kind of alludes to how they set up the American chapter.
Right.
I loved the videography of the movie, the camera angles, how they filmed it. It was on par with the other two, because the other two had these amazing camera angles throughout the fight, especially the fight in the church. Such beautiful camera work.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. And they did that. They expanded on that in this movie, and it was just fantastic how they did it. There were some issues with the script. We've discussed them. It was a little choppy in parts, and it seemed like they were playing catch up in some areas to try and make the story fit, and it didn't quite fit.
Right.
It's like if you're in between a small and a medium. A medium is too large. A a small is too small. You're in that schmedium phase. You know, that's what that kind of felt like, is that you know, they had all these great ideas and they tried to mash them together and they didn't get all the lumps out of the mashed potatoes.
That's the best part, bro.
I know. But overall, I can look past some of those choppy parts and some of the plot lines that really didn't need to exist in order to move the plot, the overall plot along. I wish that Conrad would have been part of, it would have been nice for him to survive the war.
Right.
Or not go at all and be part of the Kingsmen. It would have been nice to see him as the first Lancelot. You know, for him to be like, okay, I see what my father's doing. You know, to hell with what my reputation is. I know what my character is.
Right.
And I think that plot line was probably the biggest hiccup in the movie, was Conrad's story of him so desperately wanting to go to war and wanting to serve for his country and wanting to die for his country. But then he realizes in the middle of it, like, I don't want to die for my country.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that they could have expanded on that a little bit instead of just like bluntly killing him.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's like what a lot of the young guys back in the day were, because there was a lot of ignorance with the war. Like, they didn't tell you, like, oh yeah, you're probably gonna die. They were just like, yeah, go fight for your country, go do it. They're like, okay, we'll go fight for our country, we'll come back heroes. Like, that's exactly, Conrad got bit with the propaganda bug and was, it was just so in him. And like what a lot of young guys did, they went off. And the thing that Conrad had, though, was his dad was a soldier. And he goes, war is not glorious. It's not, quit listening to that. And he didn't. Yeah. And I think that's I don't know, it was kind of genius how they did it. Because his mother didn't want him to die in war. He dies in war. His father didn't want him to go to war because he loved his mom. And they just didn't want him to go to war. But he was like, oh, I got to do it because if not me, then who? Like, he has the skill, the training, the know-how to survive. And the thing that ended up getting him wasn't combat. It was a freak accident with really an accident. It was just a frantic decision.
Yeah.
I think that's what, I don't know. I liked Conrad's story. I wish they utilized him more. I wish he did get to do more. We got to see more of him, but his ending, like his beginning was awesome. His middle should have been more, and his ending was awesome. We just should have seen more of him.
I think if we would have seen more of his quote unquote heroics or his revelation, I think it would have been better. If he would have stayed as a lieutenant and gone to war instead of, you know, if he would have disobeyed the order and gone with the company instead of changing places and died nobly in combat, I think it would have been a lot better because his death was meaningless, you know, and that's kind of what hurts that part of the movie, is that it was completely and totally avoidable and meaningless.
Yeah. I would agree
that it was avoidable, but I don't think it was meaningless. I think him dying was like the kick in the ass that the rest of the Kingsmen needed, because they saw what was going on, and I don't think Orlando really understood how bad the war was until he figured out that his son died, and that's when he realized he needed to stop it. And if it wasn't for Polly's speech to him, I don't think he would have. There was just a lot of things that I think had to happen in order for Orlando to get the inspiration and power that he needed to beat the bad guy. Because if Conrad wasn't, if Conrad never died, and they, him, Conrad, and Merlin all went to the thing, I still think Conrad or one of those three, one of the two, were going to die either way, because they were kind of getting a big head and kind of being cocky. It's like, oh, we killed the Rasputin, oh, yay, it's all great, we're going to finish the rest of them off. And then certain things happen.
The thing is, they could have done that speech and that whole scene the moment that Conrad went to war. You know, and that could have been the kick in the ass. Instead of Conrad dying, Conrad didn't have to die in order for Orlando to get the kick in the ass from Polly. You know, Polly could have said something. Polly could have said, hey, you know, you need to do this to make sure that your son comes back. And then his son comes back and becomes part of the kingdom.
At that point, he kind of already did that because he couldn't stop his son from going to war. He was 18. His son goes to war. What he can do is prevent him. He can prevent him from joining the army, but he can't prevent him from going to war. He joins the army, and he's like, well, you're going to be a pencil pusher. And, you know, I think Orlando was fine with that. And they were kind of smooth sailing because his son was in the army, but he wasn't on the front lines dying. He was okay with it. If Conrad didn't die, there was no way the rest of the movie could have happened. Because if Conrad dies, then Orlando and the rest of the Kingsman people are like, well, shit, he's dead. We can't just have him die for nothing. That's literally what it was. They gave meaning to his death.
They could have managed it some other way without Conrad dying. I don't know. It's like you have this build up to a character, and then all of a sudden you're just like, well, what do we do with this character now? Oh, I know. Let's get one of the guys to shoot him in the head. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it felt like in that moment.
Well, I feel like they had to have him die some way, and whenever you have someone that's trained that much and that well, because like, what if he did die in battle? That would have been, I would have been more mad if he died in battle because he did all that training all his life and he still fucking died. Like in battle, he still died after all that training, but he went into battle. He survived No Man's Land. He came back after being hit in the back by a mortar or whatever it was. And he's finally made it through. He's almost at the finish line. And then there's just something that he can't control that ends up biting him. It ends up getting him. And was it a kind of abrupt ending? Yes. But that's where I say he still should have died in the manner that he did, and he still should have died. But there should have been more in between the beginning of his adult life and his ending. You know what I mean? Like he should have been that pencil pusher, but he could have been the mole inside of the British Army. Like he could have been a secret agent inside the British Army and then realized what he's doing isn't working, being a pencil pusher. That was a bit abrupt. I think that's where the problem was, where they transitioned him from, the switch was too abrupt from him switching with the Lance Corporal and whatnot. That was too abrupt. He should have been in the army for a longer period of time before he switched.
I can understand that. I could probably agree with that, with you on that. That would have probably given a little more credence to Conrad wanting to switch and go out and, you know, be on the front lines, you know, him being in, you know, the general's aid and like, oh, this is bullshit. You know, I'm not doing anything for my country. I want to go out and serve my country. And then that's when he makes a switch with a whole new batch of recruits. And then you lead into that scene and stuff like that, because then you could have built up the relationship of Conrad, the general, and even Orlando. You know, Orlando could have been.
We didn't even see him as a higher NCO at all. Like he was just
lieutenant.
That.
He was a lieutenant. He was an officer.
What we're saying is they should have showed more of that instead of
the
problem. The problem wasn't with his death. It was how little we saw.
We didn't see him get to that point. Like,
yeah.
Why was he a lieutenant so young?
Because he had privilege. That's
but
why.
But still, like,
yeah,
we didn't see him be a good leader. We didn't see him.
We didn't see him do anything except call over a Lance Corporal and then him on the front line.
Yeah, like, he went from entering the Army, and then all of a sudden he was a lieutenant, and now he doesn't want to be a lieutenant. He was supposed to be somebody with boots on the ground.
Well, no, so it's not the fact that he didn't want to be a lieutenant. He was a lieutenant in the Grenadier Corps. He didn't want to push. He didn't want to be a pencil pusher.
The advantage that they were trying to give him was
yeah.
pulling him from the war, and I understand that. It's,
yeah.
it's just, like Alex was saying, though, like, he entered the war, now he's an officer, he's a high-ranking officer.
No, he's a very low officer.
Either way.
Yeah.
He's an officer of some kind.
Yeah.
Now he's trading spots with somebody who's lower enlisted to go boots on the ground somewhere else. But we didn't see any of that transition. We didn't even get to...
We didn't get to understand
him being a soldier and how he felt doing it.
Yeah, we didn't see the mental state of him going from, oh, I'm a pencil pusher, to being, you know, boots on ground.
Yeah.
It was literally just, this is your job assignment. And him being like, well, fuck that.
It was kind of like sticking it to his dad. He's like, well, I joined the Army. There's nothing my dad can do. Oh, my dad can make me a pencil pusher? Okay. Well, he can't do nothing if he doesn't know that I switch.
Yeah.
He don't know what I'm doing, and he switches.
Yeah.
He's like, I think he said it in the movie, like, my dad has moles everywhere while I have moles of my own. That's when he switches with the Lance Corporal.
Yeah.
I think that storyline was rough.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was rough.
They should have expanded more on it, but I like the way after the switch, I loved what they did, but before the switch, they should have done more.
They could have done a lot more with that storyline instead of just, you know, rushing it.
Yeah.
So, all right. We've only got a couple minutes left of the show. I want to thank everybody here. It's always good to have all kinds of input. It makes the show a lot more enjoyable. And, you know, keeps the show going. Where there's, you know, and I love all the different viewpoints.
Right.
So, Alex, as always, thank you.
No problem.
Miss Angel, thank you.
Of course.
And a special thank you to our new co-host, guest host, whatever he wants to be right now, Zach, for joining us in the studio.
Appreciate it.
We'll see if he joins us again.
We hope so. This is not my job.
If for nothing else other than Miss Angel's cooking.
I'll be over here.
I do want to say a special thank you, to all of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our followers. I did notice that on our metrics, our numbers are going up, at least on Blog Talk. I cannot see the metrics on...
We will have to go with the producer on the numbers for...
For Twitch.
For Twitch.
But the numbers on Blog Talk are...
They're
growing a lot
on
all the shows.
Because Falling from Grace has definitely grown over the last few weeks, and I don't know if it's the controversy of the talks that we have or if it's just because we've added Twitch to the lineup. But, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
If you enjoy it, though,
keep listening.
Keep on listening.
Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the end of our show. I want to say support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day for you. And as always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast.
And support your veterans.
I just said that.
I thought you said please, fire, EMS.
He said veterans.
Okay, I can hear you.
Please support your veterans, fire, and EMS.
I can hear you.
Sorry. It's the same spiel I give at the end of every one of my shows.
It felt weird.
Don't say please, say dude.
I'd like to say please because... because I'm nice. All right. And as always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. There will not be a movie. I know we just came back. I'm sorry. I apologize. But there will not be a movie of the week next Sunday because of birthday parties and things going on. So we will be back the following week, though.
Hopefully we'll have, you know, a new TikTok for at least the Wicked Curiosity Media for that Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. And we are working on a special TikTok for you all. I've got an idea lined up. I've got a couple people lined up. If we can pull it off, it's going to be epic.
It's something.
It's going to be epic. Anyway, Tuesday night, is there a...
As far as I know, there is a Falling from Grace.
Okay. Alex.
Yes.
Wednesday night. Are we having a Cinephiles?
Most likely, yeah.
Okay. Are we still doing the same topic? So we're going to talk about movies and stuff like that that are based on cartoons and stuff like that and talk about those.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Unless there's something else you want to talk about.
No.
That's tentatively the topic for Wednesday. It could change between now and Wednesday because that's what we do. And then I know there's a note by note on Friday. So, again, every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast, every Wednesday night for the Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Note by Note. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday night.
Because Mondays suck.
Yeah. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your time. Enjoy the rest of your week. Please join us for all the shows this week. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you very much. Have a fantastic time, and we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Adios.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Drifting down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. It's not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our